Even in Christianity, there has been vain thoughts, offshoots of reality, that perhaps that mankind would overcome death. There was, in the early portion of this century, or the last century, 1900s, a very misguided belief that thought the never die doctrine. That misguided belief, it would teach that persons who lived for God in His perfect will, and that then when they were filled with the Spirit of God, that they would not die physically. Well, from the early 1900s, all of them that came up with that doctrine have died. It's not true. You see, they had a misguided belief that if you live for God, that if you follow Jesus, that you would never in this flesh die. Well, that's not what the scriptures say. We got to rightly divide the word of truth. You can take little pieces of scripture and, you know, base your belief on that and be wrong. They had a misguided belief of John 11:26. John 11:26 says, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Jesus, it says that in the Bible, and it is absolutely true that in Jesus Christ, my hope is not in death, but in life. Amen. Whether if in this life I go directly to glory, or if I die and experience the grave, there is a resurrection. That in my spirit, there will always be life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Mankind has thought up many different kinds of doctrines. But we need to be careful that we rightly divide or rightly understand the word of truth, what the Bible really says. Amen. It is clear that Jesus spoke in this portion of Scripture about eternal life, not physical life. The advocates of that doctrine, they've all died. Scriptures do mention, however, two people who did not die, but were translated. Enoch and Elijah, they miraculously passed from mortality to immortality in a moment. Let me show you. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Amen. Right from flesh, right to glory. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. "And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Elisha, his helper, his trainee, if you will, his successor to the office of being a prophet, was warned. He's going. And he got to see it with his eyes. Amen. The catching away of Elijah. Amen. He went from mortality to immortality by an act of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Scripture foretells the catching away, or the rapture, some would like to call it, although the word rapture is not in the Bible. It's a term that we have come up with. But there is a catching away. When the living Christians will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up into the air together to be with the Lord. And suddenly, the sudden physical catching away of the people of God will bypass death. They will go, like these other two examples, from mortality to immortality by an act of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bypassing death from mortality to immortality. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. I tell you, there's going to be a resurrection. Amen. There's going to be a catching away. The word of God really is true. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. I'm here to give you comfort today. The word of God is true. Because of the resurrection, the church has hope. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 53, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Some people don't like change. We talked about that in our elements class today. But you might as well go ahead and change now. It's going to be a lot. You're going to enjoy it a whole lot more in the end if you go ahead and change now. Praise the Lord. Change, when you're talking about turning toward God, is good. Praise the Lord. Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, which I truly believe the Lord is coming soon. I truly believe that it is His will for us to live for Him right now. Amen. Unless the Lord come in our lifetime, and I expect that He is coming in my lifetime, and I'm kind of old. I think He's coming pretty soon. Amen. I really do. I think Jesus is coming again. But whether if He come while I'm alive, or even if He comes while I am in the grave, it doesn't matter. I've got a hope of this resurrection. I've got the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. Amen. The tomb tells about it in Matthew chapter 27. Let me begin to read there at verse 57. And when even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea called Joseph, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. In John chapter 19, verses 39 and 40, it adds a little more clarity to these things that happened. It says there, John 19, verse 39, "And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury." They prepared the body of Jesus for burial. Wrapped him in the ointments, wrapped him in the cloth, laid him in that brand new tomb. Joseph and Nicodemus did the work to prepare, and they laid him there. The chief priests and Pharisees asked Pilate to secure the sepulcher. They remember that Jesus had said, "After 3 days, I will rise again." They were a little leery. In fact, they were afraid of the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 64. "Command there, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can." Sounds to me like he wasn't all too sure. He was saying, "Go ahead and try to keep it safe. Do the best you can do." Verse 66. "So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." You see, they made the sepulcher just as sure as they knew how to do it. They sealed it with a seal. You see, that wasn't enough for them. You see, attempts of man to make sure that the truth does not continue is always in vain. Truth is always going to prevail. Jesus told what was going to happen. He said, "On the third day, I'm going to rise again." He tried to tell them ahead of time, and they didn't want to believe it. In fact, they did everything they could to try and stop it. Tried to make sure that this did not come to pass. The truth, Jesus Christ and his truth, what God said in his word, will come to pass. Jesus is coming again. It's not a maybe or a might. It's the word. Praise the Lord. The Bible is just as, it is more accurate than tomorrow's newspaper. Amen. Praise the Lord. They tried to keep the truth from getting out. But truth cannot be contained. Truth can't be closed up in a box. There was a time that there was an Ark of the Covenant. A box that was put into the holiest of holies, and it was the place of the representation, and it was of the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, represented the very place and the presence of God in the children of Israel. But Jesus Christ came to open the box. We play these games sometimes on family game night, and there's one that's called Close the Box. Well, Jesus came to open the box. He came to open up the truth. He came to reveal himself unto us. Amen. The veil of the temple. You know, the veil was a woven cloth of a single piece, and it was 4 inches thick. Light couldn't penetrate it. And it went all the way, touching the ground, all the way on both sides, and over the top, it separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the tabernacle and from the congregation. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil rent, ripped, parted from the top to the bottom. It opened up the place of the most holy, that you could look through the tabernacle, through the sacrifices. You could look right into the Holy of Holies. You could look into the place that God dwelt. The veil couldn't contain the Shekinah glory of God. Jesus opened it up to everybody by his death, by his resurrection. Amen. There was a symbol. It symbolized the law that Jesus came to fulfill. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament and began the New Testament. The new way to follow God is in Jesus Christ. You see, we were no longer dependent upon the sacrifice of bulls and cows and goats and pigeons or sheep. For there is a sacrifice that is above all other sacrifices. It is Jesus Christ that gave himself. It is he that rose again. It is his resurrection that we have hope in. Back to the place of the tomb, back to the place of that burial, back to the place of where the soldiers were securing. They were doing their job. And we can assume that soldiers are armed. They had weapons, swords, shields, perhaps spears. Soldiers are known to handle weapons. Armed guards could not keep Jesus in the tomb. Amen. They cannot keep you from finding him. Amen. Jesus Christ rose from the dead on Resurrection Day. Amen. He is the hope of the church. Praise the Lord. In Matthew 28, verse 24, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake. That great big giant stone started rolling all on its own. An angel sat on top of it. They can look right into where the tomb was, and Jesus is not there. Armed guards, swords, the best that they could do, the securest that they could secure it, could not prevent Jesus from the resurrection. Amen. It says they became as dead men, fell down to the ground. The soldiers were unable to keep soldiering. They lost their desire to guard an empty tomb. Why guard a tomb that doesn't have anything in it? The purpose for their previous job was over. Jesus is not in there anymore. With Jesus' body gone, they didn't have anything to guard. All the soldiers could do was, they failed. They were unable to secure it. They couldn't stop the will of God from happening. They couldn't stop or hinder the plan of God from coming to fulfillment. And so they went to go tell the high priest all the things that had happened. The tomb is now empty. Resurrection morning was the greatest morning the world has ever witnessed. It's the greatest event on the behalf of mankind that has ever happened. The tomb could not contain him. His tomb became a dressing room in which he shed his grave clothes and donned heavenly clothes. Almighty God had indwelt the physical body of Jesus Christ for about 33 years as he walked on earth. Now this physical body was resurrected in glory. Psalm 30, verse number 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Can you imagine the roller coaster of emotions that these people were going through? They were so heartbroken and torn apart when they saw the death of Jesus, when they had lost hope. If there's anybody that has lost hope, I tell you, there is yet hope in Jesus Christ. If things have gotten bad, there is hope in the Lord. There is hope in my God. You can have hope in because of the resurrection that happened that we celebrate today. The disciples of Jesus were confused. When Jesus was arrested and when he went through the torment, and when he went through the crucifixion, the disciples ran for their lives. They were trying to save themselves by running away. They were confused. In fact, they forsook him. Matthew chapter 26, verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They all ran away. They were disillusioned. And they misunderstood his mission. But they all grieved the loss of Jesus. The resurrection, though, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it dispelled their confusion. It dried up their tears. It produced great joy in their lives. The resurrection reestablishes the disciples' resolve to follow Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's someone here today that may have been disillusioned. Perhaps there has been weeping, or perhaps there has been hardship, but I tell you, if you will look for the resurrection and the hope that is in Jesus Christ, if you will put your faith and trust in Him, He will dry your tears. He will fix your problem. He will see you through. The angel sat on the stone, signifying that his work had been completed. God in Christ had accomplished everything that He had came to earth to do. His miraculous birth, His wonderful ministry, His suffering, His death, and the resurrection completed all of the provisions of our salvation. I tell you, Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done that we might be saved. He did it all. He did it all. He made it possible. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were concerned about how they could roll the stone away when they came to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus with sweet spices. But when they arrived, they found that the stone had been rolled away. The two Marys witnessed the empty tomb. The angel invited the women, "Come and see the place where the Lord lie." Matthew 28:6. The woman went quickly to tell the disciples about Jesus' resurrection. Peter and John, they all hyped up and ran over to the tomb excitedly, and they entered the sepulcher for themselves to see that the tomb indeed was empty. You know, it seems we still need to have, we need to run to Jesus. We need to have enthusiasm when we come to the Lord. Amen. We need to observe the joy of the resurrection. Amen. Celebrate the empty tomb and then spread that good news. You know, the world tries to twist and turn and corrupt everything. Even a great day like Resurrection Day, you know, they'll try to put all this stuff about rabbits and eggs, and none of that's in the Bible. None of that is biblical. Don't believe what the world has to say, but you can believe there is a risen Christ. There is a Resurrection Day. We do have reason to celebrate. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do have good news to share. John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. He was not there anymore. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. Get this now. And knew not that it was Jesus. She's in the tomb, sees the angels, has a conversation. She's weeping, crying, because they took him away. She turns around and there he is. This is the picture. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She supposed him to be the gardener. She didn't recognize him. She didn't know who he was. In fact, she thought he was someone else. She supposed him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. It is very possible to be in the very presence of Jesus Christ and not know that it's him. I tell you today, in this service, the presence and the glory of God has already been here. Amen. I'm preaching about a risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. I hope you'll recognize him. I hope you'll recognize the presence of his Spirit. I hope you'll recognize the praise that has been going on in this place is unto him. I hope you'll know that it is Jesus that is indwelling or accepting and living in the praises of his people. I tell you, Jesus has been in this house, this place today. I hope you recognize his Spirit. I hope you recognize that Jesus is here. John chapter 20, verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She didn't realize it at first, but when he spoke to her, she realized and knew and recognized, Master. Jesus really is our Master. He is the Lord. He is our Savior. He is the risen Holy One. He really is the hope of the church. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, everybody born in the flesh is headed toward the grave. Everybody that's born is going toward death. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. First fruits literally means a beginning of sacrifice. Jesus was the first. His sacrifice was the first gathering of grain or fruit from the new harvest. That's what a first fruits was. It was the first portion of the harvest. Jesus made the way for the resurrection. He created a plan of salvation that we might be saved. Nothing has injected more hope into the world than the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. The crucifixion of Christ was not a defeat, but a victorious, it was victory of righteousness. Because Jesus rose, we also will rise. Because he defeated death and came out of the grave, so shall we. Amen. Because of Jesus, we can be saved. We can have the hope of the resurrection. My hope is not in this world. It's not dependent on this flesh. One of the greatest truths of the Bible is the immortality of the soul. We are not going to live physically on this earth forever. But God has planned for us to live eternally with Him. Amen. He has prepared a place for us to be with Him forever. Matthew chapter 16. Musicians, would you come? Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. I'm pausing right here on purpose. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. If you want to keep living the way you've been living, if you want to just keep on doing what you've been doing, if you keep on wanting to depend on the things of the flesh and in this world, if you keep wanting to chase after the things of this life, you're going to end up losing your life. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. There is so much life in Jesus Christ. There is so much hope in his resurrection. Verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I tell you what, there is nothing. That house ain't worth it. That car ain't worth it. That bank account ain't worth it. There's nothing in this world that is worth going to hell over. Nothing. This life, we are all living in this life. And in this flesh, we are subject to die. But my hope doesn't end there. My hope is in the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Would you stand with me? There's nothing in this world that I can hold on to. But nothing in this world can keep me from holding on to Him. Amen. I want to hold on to Jesus. I want to believe and keep my hope in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus the Christ. Would you lift your hands with me? Would you pray? Would you right now in the closing moments of this service, would you seek His face? I tell you today, you could make a step, a decision. You could make a beginning, a new life in Jesus Christ. We have water. You could be baptized in the name of Jesus. I tell you, you could receive today from God what you need in this house. I ask you, would you lift up your hands as we sing, as they play? Would you magnify and love the Lord with me? Would you magnify Him? He's worthy.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Oh, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and Christ is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just. Oh, life is worth the living just. Life is worth the living just. because he lives. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I praise you, God. I thank you, Lord. I worship you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for that resurrection. Amen. It really is what everything rests upon. The resurrection of the dead. Paul said, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you are of all men most miserable. Amen. And it's true. Praise the Lord. That God said that he was going to come, and he did. He came in the form of flesh. Amen. He said that he was going to die, and he did. He said that he was going to resurrect from the dead, and he did. And he said that he's coming back, and he's coming back. Amen. He's got a good track record. Amen. He's going to return for us. Hallelujah. We're going to experience that resurrection. Amen. And I cannot wait to see him. Praise the Lord. That, you know, the world would say, oh, you're crazy for believing that somebody could raise up from the dead. But I don't know if you know this, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most well-attested event in history. If we can't believe the resurrection, we can't believe anything from antiquity. Amen. Not only did he say it, not only was there the attestation of the prophets, amen, not only was there eyewitnesses to his resurrection, amen, but they also, and this is so important, they also went to their death. They were martyred, amen, while they defended, amen, this great, glorious gospel. Amen. They were willing to die. And many of them, most of them, only one apostle, in fact, died of old age. Amen. Every single other apostle were martyred. Amen. And they were martyred speaking the name of Jesus. They were martyred. None of them ever recanted. Amen. None of them ever said, no, it's not true. Don't kill me. Amen. But they all attested for the accuracy of the resurrection until they died. Amen. It is the most powerful, the most well-known, the most well-written event in history. Amen. We can be 100% confident, amen, that if we can believe those eyewitnesses that he really did resurrect from the dead, he really did ascend into heaven, and he really did say, that angel really did say, why stand ye here gazing at the sky? Don't you know that he which ascended, amen, is going to return in like manner? He's coming back, church. Amen. This resurrection day really is the hope of the church. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Amen. Let's give God some praise. Let's give God some worship right now. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Once again, it is so good to see. We had quite a few visitors, quite a few guests. I mean, I shouldn't call them visitors because we hope you'll come back. Amen, and be with us. Praise the Lord. You're welcome here anytime. It was good to meet many of you. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk before you run off. Amen. And it's good to see some of the faces that we haven't seen in a while. Amen. God bless you. So glad you came today. Amen. Once again, there is a photo scene in the back here. There will be pictures taken. You all look so nice today. Amen. You guys got to take a snapshot of that. All right. Praise the Lord. Get a picture with your family. Hang out for a little while. Amen. God bless you. If you have to go, make sure that you say hello to a few people before you do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray a dismissal. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for the wonderful presence of God that we've had here today. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your resurrection, God. Let it be, Lord, what we live by, God. Let it be, Lord, what we do, Lord, and have faith in, Lord, in our daily lives, Lord Jesus. God, would you bring us back to this place? Amen. Keep us in your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.